In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel reading from Mark chapter 10, the 21st verse. And Jesus, looking at him, loved him, and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Here ends the gospel. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In the gospel exchange between Jesus and the rich young ruler, we hear a negative example of what is positively stated in the first line of the intro today from Psalm 12. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. And we see a young man who is disappointed because he does not fear the Lord, nor does he delight in his commandments. What does it mean to fear the Lord? David Adams of the St. Louis Seminary, in an interview I once heard on Issues, etc., I think said it well. The fear of the Lord that is described in Scripture is the fear that a child has of losing his father. The idea of losing the one who has provided for him, has loved him, and taken care of, and of being cut off from him and being alone. And so in the text today, this rich young man professes a love for Christ, and Christ is putting that love for him to the test by saying, "There is one thing that you lack in your love for me." He tells the rich young man that all he needed to do is to sell everything that he has and give it to the poor, and then to follow him, Jesus. In this text, we see what the man fears most. He fears most losing his money, because when given the choice of losing Jesus or losing his money, he chooses and fears his money more than the Lord. And the result of that is when the Lord gives him the command to do this and follow him, he does not delight in the law of the Lord, but instead goes away disappointed. He will not, because he does not fear the Lord, nor does he delight in his commands. Christ is warning all people in this text that you cannot fear and love God and at the same time fear and love mammon, money, possessions. Rather, our money, or more precisely, our love of money, unchecked and unremoved and unforgiven, must cause us to depart from Christ, so that we will be like this young man, never to be happy, always to be sorrowful, for without Christ and without God in our life, there can be nothing but sorrow and sadness. It is our prayer under this text, therefore, that the Lord would spare us, that the Lord would forgive us, that the Lord would remove from us our love of money and possessions, which would bar off in sin the love of God that he freely wants to give us in his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. The parallel account of this text in Luke's gospel calls this young man a rich young office holder among his people. In fact, this is one of the characters in Scripture which almost could not be presented to us in more glowing terms. He is a ruler among his people, which means he is popular. He holds himself as the apple of the people's eye. Whatever is needed for leadership skills is all his. He has risen above the ranks and above his age, is a ruler among his people. Jesus looks at him and sees in his heart and his mind that he studied his Luther's Small Catechism. He says, "You know the law, you know the Ten Commandments," and then he reminds the young man what the laws and the commands of the Lord is, And by the young man's own profession, he is not outwardly a sinner. He has not outwardly transgressed in any coarse or crass or scandalous way the Ten Commandments so that people could point to him and say, he's a bad example to the people. He is an open sinner who has transgressed these Ten Commandments in an open way. More than that, he kneels before the Lord and he asks him the ultimate question, evidently believing that Jesus can answer it. He says to Jesus, what must I do to get into heaven? What must I do to inherit eternal life? And he does not refuse the Lord's instruction and his slight rebuke. When the man calls him good, master, and Jesus says, why do you call me good? For there is no one who is good but God. And though the man perhaps didn't understand what the Lord was saying, that he is more than a man but God, he does not refuse the Lord's instruction. And so it seems that if there were anyone who was ripe for conversion, anyone who was standing right at the border of the devil's kingdom and Jesus's kingdom and merely needed a little nudge to get him into the kingdom of God, it would certainly have to be this rich young ruler. Surely it will be easy for this man to become a disciple and a follower of Christ to follow after him, except for one thing. Jesus says, one thing you lack, do this and all will be well. Sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Follow me. Christ is not here playing games with the young man. Christ knows what is in his heart. And although we in all the world would look at this exemplary young man and say he is good, Jesus sees to the bottom of his heart where the root of his problem is, and the one thing that will keep him from following Christ and entering into the kingdom of God, it is his love for his possessions. Jesus is saying, let it go. Let go of your money. Don't let go of a part of it. Don't give a tithe to the church. Don't figure out what part of your expendable income you have to give to the temple. Give it all away. Give it to the poor. Follow me, and you will have treasure in heaven. For I, whom you are following, will lead you to heaven, and I will be your treasure. Jesus is saying, make your choice, me or your money. You cannot have both. Now, if any of us men who are heads of our household were given that kind of a choice by a kidnapper, it's on the TV all the time. Guy's wife, guy's kids get kidnapped by some terrible kidnapper, and they said to you as the head of your household, make your choice. I have your wife or I have your child, and I will take them away from you in death forever unless you give me all of your money and more. I will take your life. And I hope not one man among us that would be in that position would think twice. I would hope that all of us would have the kind of unselfish and untarnished heart, even humanly speaking, that would say, I would give it all up for my wife. I would give up everything I have for my child because they are more precious to me than any or all of my possessions. But Jesus is not that important to this rich man as his wife or his child or his possessions. He will not give all that he has to receive and keep this Jesus. His money, his wife, and his children are more important than Jesus. Why? Because that's the nature of his sin. That's the very nature of what Jesus wants to save him from. The best sin, the most exalted sin, the most glorious sin is the sin that parades itself in the name of love. I love my wife. I love my children. I love my job. I love my possessions. And that in and of itself is not a problem. Except when we say, I love any of those things more than Jesus. Then the love of our hearts that exalts wife, family, possessions above God, then that sin that parades itself in love is revealed. Because what we love more than Jesus is our God. What we love and serve more than Jesus is our idol. It is the reason that we violate the first commandment, and it is the reason that our Lord God, who is a jealous God, is wrathful against us and all the human race. In the name of love, we shut God out. In the name of love, we love things more than we love God. And if we are to be saved, we must be delivered from that sin that parades itself in the name and under the color of love. Christ is there to save him from this. And it says that Jesus loved the man, and I believe that his love is so great that he wants to show the man what his spiritual peril is. And he does it plainly. He doesn't disguise it. He shows him plainly what the problem is. And let's look at this young man's situation then. He knows Christ. He knows he's the only one who can teach him how to inherit eternal life, how to be born again, how to become a different person that is fitting to have heaven. But he refuses the heritage. He refuses to become another person. He refuses to be born again. He refuses to change and learn from Jesus of God's love for him in the name of his love for his possessions. He knows Christ can save him, but he refuses to be saved. He loves his love. He loves what he loves. And his love, which is sinful and idolatrous, bars the love of Christ, holds him at arm's length, and says to Jesus, "Come no closer." And the result is that he will always have sorrow. For he had the kingdom of God at his hand's length, and he refused Christ and heaven, all for the love of money. May we be warned. May we know the depth of sin that the scriptures consistently depict to us and believe it. We cannot serve God and money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Baisley's not saying that. God says that in Scripture. And we must be warned. How many among us know Christ is the Savior? But instead of being embraced by his love and treasuring it, as all do who are born again, do we refuse his love? Do we refuse his voice? Do we refuse him to keep him at arm's length and away from us, lest he embrace our hearts and we be saved? And if you are unhappy, perhaps that is the very reason. It is not because Jesus has not done enough for you, but that you will not let go of the things that afflict your hearts, that you think will make you happy, but never will. Jesus says to each of us, let them all go. You love what you love, let them go, so that you can receive the love that God has for you in Jesus Christ. Love is sinful when human beings love anything in creation more than the Creator. Our Creator, God, in Scripture is called love. He is the source of all real, non-idolatrous love. And when we hold Jesus at arm's length and refuse that love because of what we love, we cut ourselves off from every genuine love that can be in our life. And that's death. That's being apart from God. Not because of God's choice. He chose to come and save us. But because we choose that love over God. But Christ is our Savior. We don't fear God as sinners because we don't really care if we lose God. In fact, as sinners, we wish that God would get off of our backs, that God would give us a lot of money, that God would give us a good job, that God would give us all the benefits of this life, and then stay out of our life. Keep your demands and your voice away from me. Just let me enjoy all that. According to our sinful nature, we do not fear losing God. In fact, we'd like him to get off of our backs. But there was one man who actually did fear losing God. In fact, he feared it so badly that fear drew him or drove him to sweat blood in a garden as he prayed. And what he feared most in that garden as he prayed is what he actually experienced when he died the next day on the cross. And he said to his Father, my God, where are you? My God, I have lost you as I have feared. My God, why have you forsaken me? An innocent man was forsaken by his Father. An innocent man wearing our false love. An innocent man wearing the robe of our unrighteousness. Feared losing God and lost him, because that's what we deserve. On that man is a crown of thorns. It is our sins that pierced his brow. In this man, his hands and his feet are pierced with nails. It was our sins that pierced that man in nails. That man experienced being cut off from God, which is exactly what you and I deserve because of our false love. And he did it because of our sin and because of God's love for sinners like you and me. In his wounds and the flood of his blood, we are washed clean. We who were parted from God because of our rebellion and false love are embraced by an infinite love of God that washes away our sins and thins it and dilutes it out so that all of our sins disappear like the dirt and the sweat in your washing machines come out of your clothes. We are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. And we who deserved God's wrath are freed from that wrath so that God's love is ours. Jesus is the one that we follow. And were our feet merely walking the path of our lives, our feet would be constantly dirty with sin. But in God's grace, we walk upon Christ and his blood. And our sinful, straying feet are straightened out. Our smelly, dirty feet are cleaned. in the blood of Jesus Christ, who cleanses us from all unrighteousness. It is my prayer that God would forgive us for our greed. It is my prayer that the treasures that we held so firmly in our hearts would be taken away by this priceless treasure. God has loved you in Jesus Christ. What do you prefer to that? Is your husband or your wife greater to you than that? Is your job and your position in life greater to you than that? Is your money and possessions greater to you than that? Let it all go. Let it all depart from your heart in the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Because there is a love that is infinite and never runs out. There is a favor of God that will not pass away, even when you die and this whole world passes away. This is the treasure of heaven that we have in Jesus Christ. And I pray for all that I'm worth and all that is Jesus' worth, that your heart would be embraced by that treasure and that treasure alone. And that in 2 weeks on Blessed Reformation Feast, when we sing the battle hymn of the Reformation, we may not just mouth the words, but that our hearts may be filled with those words. Take they our wife, goods, fame, child, and wife, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. The treasure, the king, the kingdom yet remaineth, and they can't take that away from me. And if Christ be thus in your heart, you will not love the money in your hand. And instead of letting yourself be used by your sin to get more and more of that money you love, Christ in your heart will use that money in your hand. Christ in your heart will use the money in your hand for the support of his kingdom, for the good of your neighbors, especially the poor who are in need, for the glory of our Heavenly Father as we support the spread of his kingdom in our community and even to all the world. And using money in that way to the glory of God and to the benefit of our neighbor, we will never regret using and losing our money, for it will be the Lord's and not our own. And in the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, the treasure of our heart will be ours always, as we receive the benefits of his cross in word and sacrament, and as we follow in that forgiving path, he leads us to heaven, where Jesus will be our treasure now through faith and ours forever in heaven. May love of that treasure, which dearly deserves to be loved, be in our hearts now and always. Amen. And may the peace that gives us, that surpasses our understanding, then keep your hearts and your minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.